Happy Tuesday, April 11th on the famous Ira Kaufman podcast. Heard on JoeBucksFan.com, iTunes. I've heard that it's audible in the Kremlin as well, Ira.
Podbean. Whatever that is. Not that I know what the heck that is.
There's many other podcast platforms across the internet. And I'm Steve Isbitz. It's the threesome today, Ira. Nothing naughty, please. Nothing naughty. Lee DeKemper's here.
Welcome back, Lee. Welcome back.
Finally, Ira, I notice you're enjoying the Rod Stewart music in the background here.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for a little Chuck Berry after his funeral this weekend in St. Louis. Your dear St. Louis. He never strayed from St. Louis, Lee. He always stayed there. Give him his credit.
He liked it there, Ira, we guess. And, of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morris, clients get more at Ed Morris, like more savings. Lease the exquisite 2017 XT5 crossover for only $399 a month with zero down. That's at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Morris has more. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Click edmorriscadillactampa.com, Ira, for all the details. And that's where you want to start your car shopping search.
Steve, I thought these deals were going to end like Christmas time. I mean, you know, with the new year, you flip the calendar, you go back to the old prices. How long is this thing going to continue?
Ira, would you wake up? It's April already. We've been talking new deals all the time. You thought it was last year? EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, another place to get started, and we'll talk a little bit more about them later. That's the only luxury dealership in Brandon. Now, Ira, let me get a little bit of business out of the way here. First, subscribe to Ira's podcast. Now, all that means is it's free, and wherever you subscribe on these platforms, you get a little alert when the podcast is available for you.
See? You know that word subscribe, Lee? People hear that, they think there's money involved. No, there's no money, only pleasure, Steve, only pleasure. Where are you going to get pleasure for no cost?
Well, let's not go down that road.
Lee knows a couple of places, but never mind that. Continue, Mr. Isbitz.
I don't even know where we're going. But seriously, the alert means it comes to your phone, and you just get a little text or something that says the Ira Kaufman podcast is now available, and that's it.
Speaking of pleasure, you know, we're waiting for the Hooters calendar waitress to come by.
Absolutely. It won't be long. Steve, while I have you here, right here on this podcast, I got you squirming because you don't know what's coming. How is the Ira Kaufman podcast doing? How are the numbers looking, Stephen?
Look, all I'll say is this. Ira Kaufman podcast, fantastic. Fantastic. If this were a radio show on Tampa Bay airwaves, it would have ratings. And sad to say, there are whole stations out there that don't have ratings. There are shows that you might hear on the weekend on sports radio. They really don't have ratings. This show would have ratings. Real ratings.
I remember I used to ask Dumig about some different shows on different stations, and Dumig would look at me and he goes, not even in the book, not even a blip.
Well, you'd be memo to potential sponsors.
Yeah.
We get listeners.
Be in the
Ira
book.
Gets listeners.
You'd be in the book, Ira, absolutely. You could be proud of that, and we can show all the numbers as well.
Let's give our props to the commish, too. He's got strong numbers, too.
So. If you're good enough for Chris Russo on Sirius XM, NFL Radio, not NFL Radio, but Mad Dog Radio. If you're good enough for Chris Russo, you're good enough for local sponsors.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it.
So, Ira, let me say this, though. Could you tell everybody where you're on TV every Monday? Because you're on TV every Monday. Not everybody's watching you. And, of course, you wear your Ed Morris gear.
Absolutely.
Like a flag.
And a sports coat. Can you imagine me in a sports coat? I didn't wear one for my wedding. You know, I wore a plaid shirt. I'm like John Fogerty over there. But every Monday, I go down to Pinellas Park, and I go on Spectrum. It is now called Spectrum. It used to be Bright House, Bay News 9 channel, a panel show, and I'm always on with Roy Cummings, my former comrade from the Tribune. There's a host. Could be Lindsay LaCorey. Could be somebody else, Mike Cairns. And, you know, we are asked a series of questions. One of them is always on the Bucks. And we freewheel it. We try to have a little fun, Lee. And then they show it Monday night, Steve, I think beginning at 7 p.m. It's on a quarter after the hour, a quarter to the hour, and all night long. You can see yours truly.
And they hide it, too, don't they? They'll never put it on YouTube.
Never hide it, and they announce me as a proud member of Joe Bucks Fan. And they spell it right.
And they get the .com in there.
They get the .com in there.
Because that's important, Ira. That's
absolutely
important. All right, now, also going to make it official, Ira. You are going to be there, and we can always edit this out if you change your mind at the last second. But bottom line, you're going to be at the Bucks Uncensored, the commish draft party at Sports Legends Bar and Grill.
When I make a commitment, Steve, I keep it. Ask my wife of 36 years. While Lee is gorging himself at One Buck Place with all the delicacies, you and I will be dining, having fine dining that night.
That's the commish, Justin Pulaski's Bucks Uncensored draft party, Sports Legends Bar and Grill, 2570 Drew Street at the corner of U.S. Highway 19. Ira will be there, so he'll get to hug him and do other things to
gonna
him.
It's going to be a huge turnout, Steve. Huge.
Can I point this out real quick?
Wait a minute.
Finish with your read?
Yeah, I want to point this out real quick.
I was just going to say the draft, the Bucks are probably going to draft about 10:45 p.m.
So unless light moves up.
Plenty of time to talk to Ira and plenty of time to schmooze and mingle, get there 6:30. That's going to be a hell of a party.
Maybe I'm not allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it. It's across the street from the Philly Stadium in Clearwater. It's very easy to find. If people think of Drew Street like it's near the water or something like that, no. It's on a main drag right off of US 19.
Just north of Gulf to Bay, right?
Yeah, it's right across from the Philly Stadium. You can sit there and have a beer, and you can watch a home run off the right field foul pole if you want.
Absolutely.
It's right there.
This is going to be the best Bucks draft party in town, Steve, without question.
Well, you're going to be there, so I think that kind of sums it up.
That's so nice of him. He's going to attack me later in the show, so he's trying to butter me up.
I mean, what's a party without Ira, you know? and maybe Lee will change his mind. Maybe we'll get lucky.
We got you, me, and the commish. That is an unholy trio.
Is Lee ruled out? You're telling Lee he can't be there.
I thought Lee's ticketed for one buck.
Yeah, I usually am. I feel guilty if I'm not there.
He wants to sit next to Cummings, Jenna Lane, all his people over there. It's going to be a heck of a party.
All right, Irv. So enough of that. Now, this podcast, as people have seen on the headline already and on the info that pops up, we're focusing running backs here. This is going to be a running backs heavy podcast with Lee and I. In your absence, Ira, we did an offensive line podcast. People seem to like that, and why not? But this is a big topic of the day. Now, you wrote your column on JoeBucksFan.com last week, Ira. I think it was Friday.
Yes.
Essentially, there were two big elements in that column. One, you said you don't believe the Bucks are going to draft a running back in round one. Kaufman says no.
I'm sticking with it.
And Joel Glazer in that column talked about the importance of the ground game. We had a little X's and O's from Mr. Glazer.
So, and that's why it was so important that you and I went out to Phoenix when a lot of venues did not go out to
Phoenix.
You
love saying that.
I love it.
You love saying that people weren't there.
Yeah, one of these so-called venues was asking why Dirk Cutter wasn't asked X question.
How do they know?
Well, my response is, why didn't you get on a plane and fly and ask him yourself?
See, we milked this for all it's worth, Steve.
I still have more content from that, too.
By the way, Lee, I drove around Phoenix for 3 days with Izbits.
I hope you saw the Giants.
I can't believe I'm in one piece here.
Have you driven
with this man?
Yeah, he likes to tailgate.
Oh, my goodness. He's in the wrong lane half the time. He's going about 85.
Did you see your beloved Giants?
I saw Joe Madden. I did not see my beloved Giants. I had to get back. I had to do a podcast with Izbit. So, you know, got my priorities.
What the hell are you talking about?
You couldn't do that at the airport?
Continue, Steve. Continue.
People believe every word you say. You realize that. That's a powerful thing.
Well, as far as the driving's concerned, they should believe everything. You are an aggressive driver. Aggressive. Let's just put it like that. You're as aggressive in driving as Jason Light is towards the draft.
Just close your eyes and enjoy yourself.
There you go.
All right. So, look.
Why shouldn't we talk about running back, Steve? It's the glaring need of this the 2017 Bucks.
Let's expand. I want you to just, you have the floor, Ira. Expand on your feeling. You stand behind the column. It's good to know since it was only a few days ago. Let it rip.
All right, here we go. I'm going to start at the beginning. The Bucks had a lousy ground game in 2016. Nobody at this table is going to argue that point, even though Izbits doesn't like to give me any point. They couldn't run the ball well, period. There was a couple of games by Jacquizz Rodgers. There was that game in Charlotte that maybe turned around the Bucks season on that Monday night when Rodgers had a big game. He might have had another big game. For the most part, they ran lousy last year, and that hurt the entire offense. Play action didn't work. Jameis was throwing 45 balls a game in September. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Mm-hmm. When Doug Martin came back, he didn't run it well. He didn't run before he got hurt. He didn't run after he got hurt. Bad ground game. The offensive line's returning basically intact. Mm-hmm. Sweezy is probably one new starter. I don't expect the holes to be that much bigger, but the running game's got to get a lot better. The Bucks had a record-breaking offense in 2015 in Dirk Cutter's first year as coordinator. Why? Because they were beautifully balanced. Mm-hmm. They had Doug Martin and your guy, Lee, Charles Sims, who contributed 1,000 yards from scrimmage, a big number. Yeah. So they have a glaring need. Nobody's going to argue that. The question is, when do they address it? Well, Bill Polian in my column says you don't address it in free agency. It's very rare.
He's right.
You pick up an impact running back in free agency. Mm-hmm. He's right. Mm-hmm. You got to go do it in the draft. It begs the question, what round do you get one? Lee, I'll turn this over to you with the reference that history has shown us. Mm-hmm. History has shown us. Time and time again, you can get quality running backs, not an Adrian Peterson, quality running backs beyond the first round. Mm-hmm. They also have a short shelf life. These are things that go against drafting a running back in the first round. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree, and I used to be a firm believer in never drafting, never ever drafting a running back in the first round. I've started to sway from that. One of the reasons why is, as you just suggested, you rarely get a home run hitter of a running back later in the draft, number one. Number two, if you think running back is the final piece of the puzzle, then you go get him. I don't think it's outrageous to say that's the final piece of the puzzle with the Bucs. They've got DeSean Jackson. They've got Evans. They've got Brate. They've got their franchise quarterback. What don't they have? They don't have a running back. That's why I'm big on Dalvin Cook. Dark Cutter told me this at the Combine. And I wrote this up last week on JoeBucksFan.com. He basically said that people that think you can get a running back in later rounds, he goes, well, yeah, right, you know, give me a break. He basically said that that's caca, even though his history suggests that's not. Devontae Freeman. You know, what, fourth round pick, excuse me. And Cutter developed him with Atlanta. So if you're going by history, maybe the Marlon Mack in the later rounds. But you know what? If you wait to get that running back, you better get him. You better get him, that's for sure.
Lee, what if none of the big three, Cook, Fournette, McCaffrey, mm-hmm. are still on the board at 19? Would you still take a running back in the first round?
If all three are still there?
If all three are not there.
No, you don't know. Then you're reaching. I know there's a loud sect of Bucs fans that are screaming for Joe Mixon. The fact that Light had a sit-down with Mixon, that tells me. Well, I wrote about this Monday on JoeBucksFan.com. That tells me it was nothing more than an Al Davis move. He's looking to get inside his guy's head, you know, because he figures he's going to face him maybe a couple times a year. You know, he could go to the Panthers. I don't think, unless Mixon lasts till the fifth or sixth round, I don't think Light's going to touch him. Only because of his history with Greg Hardy. I don't think he'll touch him. No, I don't. If the big three are gone, I think the Bucs go, I hate to say best player available because that's nonsense, the best player that meets need, whether that be, oh, shoot.
What, the end?
A D end. Or, you know, safety, I think that's a reach at safety at first because I know Bucs fans go bananas about Conte. Absolutely bananas. But everything I've spoken with the Bucs, I'm sure, you know, I was at the Combine speaking to Bucs guys. You guys were in Phoenix speaking to Bucs guys. I never got the impression whatsoever that they think safety is a priority.
Could it be another wide receiver?
All right. We're talking running backs here. We just told the people we're talking about running backs.
I understand.
Where are you going?
Let me go back to running back.
Steve? Let's stay on point here with the running backs.
I don't think Buck fans, Steve, Buck fans should not read too much into this sit-down with Joe Mixon. Should not. Happens all the time. He's one of more than two dozen players that are going to visit one Buck place before the draft. Steve, you know, they want to read the tea leaves. Our readers, our listeners, let us read the tea leaves. We're pretty good at it, Steve. Just because they the Kemper's right on that point. They're doing their due diligence on Joe Mixon. But as far as Joe Mixon's concerned, Steve, I'm gonna throw this out there. Jason Light's probably not making the final call on a Joe Mixon if he's thinking about it. You know who is? Owners.
The G's.
Owners, because this reflects on the franchise. If Light wants to take a right tackle with 19th pick, I don't think Ed Glazer has to weigh in on that. If they're taking Joe Mixon in the second round, that's a decision that the Glazers ultimately
right,
have to sign off
here.
On.
What do you mean a couple of things? I got a whole list here.
Control yourself, Steve.
First of all, Ira, I want you to go back. A little more homework for you. You never do your homework, but I've got more homework for you.
Well, there's a cold draft of beer. We just got here.
I want you to go back and watch that Saints game.
Which one? First game or the second one?
Second Saints game, season on the line. Jaquizz Rodgers ran the ball very well. 15 carries, 63 yards, a touchdown.
Yeah.
He caught two balls. He only threw him two balls. Dirk Cutter, you could easily make the case watching that game. I've watched it probably four times now. They didn't hand him the ball enough. They didn't give him the ball enough.
Well, they scored 20. They didn't lose because they didn't score enough. They scored 24 points in that game.
Okay, well,
they needed another score.
My point is a running back didn't cost them that game.
Okay. And my point is they averaged 3.6 yards a carry. You can argue with that, Mr. Isbell?
Well, this is an important thing. And this brings us back to Doug Martin. Now, question one, how much are we even having this conversation about the running game if Doug Martin didn't run the ball last year, if they just benched him and he just never came back from his injury? Probably running game probably looks a lot better. The guy was awful all year long.
Awful.
Start to finish. I think his longest run of the year was like 12 yards.
Awful.
Terrible.
I understand your point, Steve.
So I think we're better by just subtracting Doug Martin. But, Mike, forget about what I think. Ira, Mr. Kaufman, sage of Tampa Bay sports, do you believe Dirk Cutter believes that, hey, we're better, we're just take away Doug Martin and a little improvement at center, and we're a hell of a lot better on the ground.
I understand his point, Lee. I do understand it. I mean, any child can understand his points. But let me say this, Lee. I'm just going to be honest here. Rodgers, Sims, Peyton Barber. Is Dirk Cutter comfortable with that trio going into 2017? Is he or is he not?
If he's looking for a playoff berth, he should not be.
Good answer. How do you like that, Mr. Izbitz?
Well, I mean, I got a counter with a lot of teams made the playoffs last year, most of them in the NFC with no running back whatsoever.
They didn't have a worse running back than Doug Martin. He's supposed to be your bell cow. He had the worst yards per average.
Atlanta ran the ball well, Steve.
Atlanta was one of two, but Detroit, zero running game. Green Bay had a terrible running game, and so did Seattle. And Seattle's now got Eddie Lacy in there.
Jameis Winston is not Aaron Rodgers right now. Not right now.
Well, that's not bingo. He's not Matt Ryan yet. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Russell Wilson to a lesser degree. Well,
he needs a running game, Steven.
Bingo.
Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be that guy if he was throwing the schlock that Jameis had out there last year as well.
Steve, you're mixing apples and oranges. Let's get back to this running game. I don't think Dirk Cutter is comfortable with the current roster. I think he needs help.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But that takes us back to the first round. Lee says final piece of the puzzle. I'm recapping here. Lee says running back's final piece. You're saying no. That's not the final piece because you don't even think it's going to happen in round one. So I'll take you to this. If Dalvin Cook's sitting there with the 19th pick, which every draft guru believes he will be sitting there with the 19th pick, you go, I'll just throw you to the ESPN side. Kiper and McShay both believe Cook lasts till the mid-20s, 25, 27.
Boy.
Some people have him out of the first round. Daniel Jeremiah believes he will be there later.
Every year there's a couple of guys that drop like a rock in these mock drafts, and Cook's one of them.
Well, there you said it. That's a four-letter word, mock draft.
Ira, let me go here. Do they pass on Dalvin Cook if he's sitting there?
I think they do.
Ooh.
I think they do, Lee. Changed my mind on this a month ago. I thought I think maybe there's too many red flags. There's too many red flags, including ball security. Cutter's big on that. I think Cutter's bigger on that than almost anything. When he talks about Winston, what Winston has to improve on, that's the first word, ball security. So, Lee, I'm not saying they're not going to take a running back in the first three rounds. I think they are. But if an O.J. Howard is sitting there, Lee, I think that's interesting. A defensive end, I think that's interesting. I just think history works against running backs. And, you know, is Dalvin Cook Adrian Peterson? No, he's not. And I don't think there's that much separation between Cook and a guy you might be able to get in the second
round.
Lee's
getting his baseball bat out.
Oh, Lee's ready here, baby.
Well,
and I know Winston's going to lobby for Dalvin Cook.
You
too.
Know he is, yeah. Well, let's go back to when Adrian Peterson was drafted. His red flag was the guy was always injured. Now, people will say about Cook, well, he had three shoulder surgeries. I understand that. But his last shoulder surgery was roughly a year ago, last offseason. How did he look last year? Looked pretty darn good. And Edward Peterson was always hurt. I mean, always hurt with Oklahoma. There's no question about his talent, but he was always hurt. So, you know, if you're going to ding Cook for being hurt, well, what about Edward Peterson when he was coming out? That's number one. Number two, if they pass on Dalvin Cook, that tells me they dug up something on him. Because this is a guy, and I got another point about Dalvin Cook. Leonard Fournette is not a pass-catching guy. McCaffrey, depending who you talk to, it almost sounds like a gimmick guy. You know, there are teams working him out as a slot receiver. That's to me, that's a red flag. That's not a guy you can count on as a running back if you're working him out as a slot receiver. But my third point about Cook is ball security. That's a legitimate red flag. That can be taught. That can be coached up. Arguably the most popular running back in Bucs history had a bad fumbling problem. He overcame that. His name is Mike Alstott. So, to me, fumbling, and here's another thing about the fumbling with Cook. How many of those fumbles were, he used to do the stunt when he was crossing the goal line and he acted like he was breaking the tape at a track meet? I know twice I saw that guy fumble doing that stunt at the goal line. You know that's not going to happen in the NFL. Cutter's going to be like, son, you're not even going to dress for a stinking game. You try that again.
I'll say this, Steve. If the Buck Brain Trust believes Cook can be as good, as Warrick Dunn in the NFL, I think you got to take him.
Warrick Dunn's underappreciated.
Warrick Dunn gained 11,000 yards as a running back in this league.
The reason I moaned and groaned there is because I don't think they're even comparing. I don't even think they would even.
Well, the natural comparison of FSU, I understand
because
that.
Because he broke Dunn's records.
I see them as different kinds of backs as well. But the shoulder end of it is very interesting. The three shoulder surgeries in college. I mean, look, let's say Doug Martin had a good year and we weren't talking about drafting a running back at all. Let's, you know, if he had a good year, we wouldn't be. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We'd all be saying, hey, three shoulder surgeries, man, that is a lot. That's a lot of shoulder surgeries. It's not like, you know, one knee here, shoulder here, broken collarbone there.
And we're talking about using a first-round pick on a guy.
First-round pick. But I agree with Lee on the shoulders. I think it's irrelevant. Maybe long-term, it'll affect his durability, and he's got shoulder issues maybe long-term from this. But I think the Bucs are in such win-now mode.
Yes.
This is all about win-now.
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody's worried about Dalvin Cook's shoulder affecting his performance in 2017 or 2018. I'm just not worried about that.
To reinforce what Steve said, they're not worried about 5 years from now.
I think it's all about next year and the year after. But I do think when it comes to Cook, the fumbling issue, that also goes to win now. Teaching a guy not to fumble, that's a can be a long-term process for certain guys. And then you look at the draft. You got this guy, Kareem Hunt. Lee's written about him, the guy out of Toledo. Really considered a very, almost a perfect prospect, just not a first-rounder. This guy probably goes late second round, third round. Fumbled once in college. I think it's like 880-something touches. I was reading about that.
This is a deep running back class.
It's a very deep running back class.
Even Cutter has admitted that.
And I think you know, something we've talked about off the air, and it's just a reality of the NFL, Jason Light looking for a new contract. Dalvin Cook's a polarizing figure in the Bucs world. I'd say about 60% of the fans would love to have him.
You guys ran a poll.
I'd say 60%, maybe max two-thirds, would just have a freaking parade if the Bucs drafted him. But the other third, it's a very polarizing guy. Plus, he's had injuries, and fumbling issues are weird. You get into preseason, you cough up the rock a couple of times. All of a sudden, Dirk Cutter's, I'm not riding around this guy this year. Jaquizz never coughs it up. Look what happened to Kenny Bell last year. He got one kick return in preseason, coughed it up, was never seen again. One, and they just invested all this time into
the
guy.
And he was a draft pick.
Now, he's not a first-round draft pick, but the point is that I think Cutter is very impatient, and Light is also worried about making a high-profile wrong move. It's got to be in the back of his head. Maybe Cook. I don't know. I just don't think they trade up. But if he's there, I don't know. I think
Lee, is the Winston factor relevant regarding Dalvin Cook?
Sure, because pretty much what Jameis wants, Jameis gets. I can't go with the Kenny Bell analogy. That guy was on thin ice to begin with, and that kickoff fumble, that pretty much, speaking of ice, that pretty much iced his NFL days. Notice he hasn't been picked up by anyone.
Oh, he's on the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens picked him up? They're that desperate, huh?
So you're saying if the Bucs are on the fence about Cook, then Winston could become a slight factor.
He could be. Oh,
You're not saying he's going to be the reason that they draft Dalvin Cook.
No, Jameis is not doing their draft. No, sir. But if they're on the fence and Jameis is Jason Light's door, would you draft
him? Steve, should that be relevant? Should it be a factor?
Real quick, his intel, he played with the guy. He knows him.
Should it be a factor if Jameis wants him?
Yes.
I think so. I mean, we're talking maybe a 1.2% factor.
Sure.
There may be eight other guys Jameis likes as well. Oh, I threw to this guy. I knew that. Because Jameis seems to know everybody in the NFL, if you notice.
You can't have him having too large of an influence on your draft.
No, not at all. But let's be real here. As much as he might like Dalvin Cook, Jameis is a quarterback. You know what quarterbacks want in the draft? A-list receivers, that's what they want in the draft. And the Bucs may have their shot at an A-list receiver. And I'd be the first guy having a parade. If they draft a guy who could be a number one receiver, holy crap.
Well, they already have a number one receiver.
Well, you know, put three wide and let's party.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I'm really big on this Godwin from Penn State. To me, he's like, if Jason Light, and I know we're deviating from running back here. If Jason Light has a pattern, I hope, if you're using last year as a foundation for a pattern, when he signed Ayers, drafted Spence, signed Brent Grimes, drafted Vernon Hargraves, he signed DeSean Jackson, well, your potential next DeSean, or at least a guy who can stretch the field, is Godwin from Penn State. Really, you might be able to get him a second round.
I got a question for you, gentlemen.
Ira Kaufman, that's you, Ira. And, of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you got to rush over there, Ira, and don't speed like I do. I'm accused of tailgating and driving like a maniac. I think I might have gotten another red light ticket coming up here, which is just a bunch of crap. But I've now beaten about 4 out of 6 of these because they're just such BS. You can still drive. Well, I'm not going to go there. When you buy from Ed Morris, Ira, you get more peace of mind knowing every vehicle is inspected, warrantied, reconditioned, and given the Ed Morris seal of approval. Of course, we're talking pre-owned vehicles, and that's where you want to get your certified Cadillac or pre-owned vehicle. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. 6-year warranty, Ira. You might not even make it to 100.
Lee, if I'm going to buy or lease a car out of Cadillac, I got to rent a car just to go into the parking lot because I can't drive my 1973 Dodge Dart into Ed Morris Brandon. I mean, they'll laugh at me over there, Steve.
73 Dodge Dart. Didn't you buy that when your grandson was born?
I remember those.
And at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, get more savings. Drive a 2013 ATS for $16,985. Hurry in today to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon to get more. It all starts by clicking edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. See the dealer for every bit of details, the limited warranty details, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Let's get back to the running backs.
Can I ask a question, Steve?
Of course, you do whatever the hell you want.
All right, Lee, hypothetical. The Bucs draft a D-end or a tight end like Howard at 19. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, at 27, Dalvin Cook's still there. Could Light pull the trigger on a deal and move back into the first round, as he did with Doug Martin?
That was not Doug Martin. I know who you're talking about.
Dominic.
That was Dominic.
Dominic. That was a smart move by Dominic. I got to give him credit. Got to give the rock star credit. Steve, you said the Bucs are in win-now mode. I don't necessarily disagree with you on that. If Cook is there late in the first round, could the Bucs give up what they have to do and get back into the first round?
Could they? Sure. Should they? Not just yes, but hell yes.
Well, here's the thing, Ira. They'd have to give up a fortune because you can't get back into the first round at, say, 27 when you're sitting on, like, the number the Bucs would be looking at, like, the number 50. Excuse me. Yeah, number 50 overall pick. You can't give the 50 in the third rounder to get up back to the first round.
Yeah, you might have to give up something in the 2018 draft.
There's a huge butt coming here. Keep going, Steve.
So you might have to give up a second round pick next year, this year, and a third. Or you might have to be willing to cough up next year's first round pick, but no one's going to swap you this year's first for next year's first. Very tough situation unless you have a player that another team wants. And the Bucs do have some talent around. I'm not saying they would do it, but in that scenario, if they believe, man, we got this, and
you're
we can
right.
get Cook.
The cost is high.
They just don't have enough ammo.
Yeah. How many?
Yeah, because they don't have a high second round pick.
Right.
That's key. Go ahead, Lee.
That's scaredy cat philosophy.
Go ahead.
How many times, just on this podcast, how many times have we talked about win now? So why are you worried about a draft pick 3 years from now, hypothetically? Since we're speaking hypothetically, what are you worried about a draft pick 3 years from now when, oh, by the way, Jason Light may not be here?
But when you start dumping first-round picks in the future, you pay a price, Steve.
You pay a price. How many times? We've talked on this podcast. Win now. We don't know if Jason Light's going to come back. So why the hell is he worried about you? If they're not worried about Dalvin Cook's shoulder 5 years from now, why the hell would they be worried about a draft pick 3 years from now?
Steve, if they came away with O.J. Howard and Dalvin Cook, would Buck fans care what they gave up for him?
Well, no.
What they gave up for that?
It's not going to happen.
I'm serious.
No, of course they wouldn't care. But I don't think they'd find a trade partner. This is my point. If, let's say, they're trying to get back to number 27, you're trading – 27 is a good football team.
And now you got the 51st pick.
And the Bucs are projected to be a good football team. So that other team's like, okay, so, well, there's a good chance the Bucs have the 24th pick next year. What are we getting here?
And
it's a tough spot.
It's a tough spot.
Tough spot. I don't even know if they'd find a partner. I think they would try, but I don't even know if they would. It's just a tough situation.
Steve. They probably don't have the ammo.
They have the ammo. I mean, George Allen used to trade draft picks. Like, they've got the ammo.
You have the ammo if you want to go crazy. Lee's advocating that why not go crazy? What the hell? You know, who cares? Throw caution to the wind.
I'll say it again. Like we've pointed out. Just on this podcast, not to mention on JoeBucksFan.com, they're in a win-now mode, and Jason Light's contract hasn't been extended.
But if you like Cook that much to make a big, big trade to go to 27, why don't you take him at 19?
Well, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you argue that as well.
There's no point to investing all the money later if you really like him that much to trade up. So,
what about McCaffrey?
Well, I wanted to ask you about McCaffrey, Ira, because, you know, I ran the audio, I don't know if you listened to it again, because you were there in person, of Dirk Cutter talking about McCaffrey. And if you're really analyzing that audio and seeing it live, he sort of was saying, well, you know, he only weighs 200 pounds, and he does this and this and this, but 200 pounds. Cutter seemed to be stuck on the fact that This guy isn't a bang it between the tackles running back.
And I don't know if I agree with that, Steve. I mean, first of all, Lee, how many running backs in this league carry more than 18 times a game? Not many. Not many. Yeah, you do it by committee.
You're Zeke Elliott kind of type. But yeah, but yeah, that's when you build offense around a running attack solely.
Look at Dallas's offensive line. He doesn't take all valid kinds of punishment. So you do it a little bit by committee, but
he's not a Marshawn Lynch.
You know, what's wrong with giving McCaffrey 15 carries? I don't see anything wrong with
that. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I was asking your opinion on what Cutter
is. I watched a lot of McCaffrey tape, Lee. I think he's very impressive.
He's impressive. Steve made a good point about Cutter. Cutter's not alone in that. I was just reading this morning. I can't remember where I read, but I read this morning McCaffrey's like a 20 toucher type because, you know, he's not a huge guy. You know, his build, it spooks some people.
Well, I was saying, how many guys, you know, there aren't many 20 carry guys in the NFL. So
no, there's not.
I don't see that as a big knock on McCaffrey.
But if you're going to draft a running back that high, you want to give him touches. If it's a pass game, sure. And which he is. The only thing that really spooks me about McCaffrey, who's he done it against? I mean, Iowa? Come on.
Well, the guy broke Barry Sanders' record. It stood for 27 years. I mean 27 years.
The Pac-12 is not known for a good defense.
I understand.
And my point about Cook is, and someone was trying to bait me this morning on JoeBucksFan.com. I didn't take the bait. Who did Cook do this against? Well, he did it against Oregon, did it against Clemson every year, did it against Michigan, who allegedly had one of the best defenses in college football. In Florida State's biggest opponents, he always came up big, which impresses me.
I think one way or another, McCaffrey's going to make a little bit of an impact as a rookie for whoever drafts him. And maybe it's as a slot receiver. And you know what? That's a specialty position. And when you got a Wes Welker or somebody like that, that guy impacts the game.
But here's the thing. You don't draft a slot receiver midway through the first round. You get good slot receivers later. I mean, look at what the Giants did with Sterling Shepard. The guy caught 80-something balls last year. Everybody knew he was going to be a good player. He's a mid-second-round guy. Yeah. I just don't think you do that. You have to believe he's an A-list running back, an A-list returner, and an A-list receiver. But it's also very tough to teach a rookie the receiver playbook, every inch of the playbook. And he's 20 years old on top of that. I don't know. It's interesting.
Here's another McCaffrey, which a sign I don't think the Bucs would draft him. You know, we're talking about slot receiver. And for our fans listening, our listeners, they are absolutely in love with Adam Humphries. And I can say personally, there is no player on the roster, none, that if I write something negative, and boy, sure, I sure have, about Rudy, no player elicits a response from one Buck Palace. Like, what the hell are you writing about?
He might have been the best player on the field in the season finale. He had a huge game.
He improved in December.
That's one game.
They love him so much that there is no player on the roster. If I write something negative, elicits a response as quick as Adam Humphries. They're not going to draft McCaffrey at 19 to have him part-time play slot.
I agree.
When Humphries is their darling.
You draft McCaffrey if you think he's going to get 15 carries as a running back.
Well, and I'll say this, and I know Lee's going to shake his head, but I just believe it's wholehearted reality. Dirk Cutter loves Charles Sims.
Yeah.
He loves this guy.
Did you tell that to tell it to DeKemper again?
Oh, I understand.
Depress him a little more.
He loves Charles Sims. Sims was so extraordinarily effective in 2015 on opening day. He got him that win in Atlanta. And if he comes back healthy.
That was last year he got
the
that.
Guy, yeah, that last
was,
year.
But he was effective in 2015.
Yeah, that's what I said. 2015, yeah. But he came back last year before
right.
he got hurt.
Right.
He had that amazing run on opening day. The guy is as good a pass catcher, I'm sure, as McCaffrey is. Sims is an incredible pass catching running back.
Very good on the screen, Steve.
And
very good on the screen.
And Cutter believes in this guy. And if he's healthy, Cutter's going to be, you know, I hate to use the word aroused, but he's going to be thoroughly aroused by, man, look at Charles Sims'
you're
back.
You're getting DeKemper all worked up here, Steve, because he loves to mention Charles Sims.
I understand Cutter's infatuation with
him. And let me go back to this, Ira, because this is still important because we're talking running backs here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. You talked about you don't have to run a guy more than 15 times a game, 20 times a game. Those guys, 320 carries a year, they don't really exist much anymore. Well, if you're talking about running a guy 14, 15 times a game, that brings us back to Adrian Peterson, who's still sitting out there. And if we're talking about Jameis's influence, that maybe it's a percentage here, a percentage there, one of the great unknowns is what Jameis came back to Cutter and Light and said about training with AP. He made us come back and said, guys, I don't know anything about money, and I'm not a businessman, but holy blank, this guy runs and trains like I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what that means.
You know, Lee, I could see after the draft when the dust settles and we see what the Bucs did in the first three rounds vis-a-vis a running back, because they're certainly going to take one. Mm-hmm. And, Lee, depending on how that played out and who was available at 19 and who was there in the second round, maybe they revisit Peterson at a different price. I think price is a big factor with Peterson.
Yes.
How much money does he want? Maybe if they get him at a bargain rate after the draft and see what they got, maybe they take a look at him. Lee, things can change.
It wouldn't surprise me if they went to Peterson like, okay, we think you're a part-time player at your age and your physical capability. Let's not forget he blew out his knee last year. We want you to be a part-time player, therefore you're going to be paid a part-time player. We'll see. It's so telling that he's, you know, to me, the people that are screaming for Adrian Peterson are screaming for the name Adrian Peterson. They're not screaming for the running back Adrian Peterson. It's two different animals.
But Lee, as Steve pointed out on the show many times, the last year he was healthy, he led the league in rushing two years ago. How old is he again? I understand.
It was a bad knee. You know, look, the Raiders are looking for a running back. Who are they talking to? They ain't talking to Adrian Peterson. They're talking to a guy who wasn't even in the league last year. Yeah. So, I mean, he's out there for a reason, people.
Running backs that age, Steve, history's against them, no question.
Yeah, that's very nice. I understand the pure numbers, but first of all, Peterson's about money. Nobody knows what he's asking for. So if he was out there saying, I'll play for the veteran minimum, he'd have a job right now.
Right.
If he'd say,
right,
I'll play for incentives and whatever,
he'd have
like Andre Dawson did with the Cubs 30 years ago,
he'd have a job.
So it's about money on a lot of levels. Adrian Peterson is one of the most unique athletes and a freakish guy. So I don't know if you can compare him to the other old running backs in the same way. But the point is that if they don't draft that first-round running back, then how does the complexion change for a win-now desire team?
And Peterson gets a little more desperate, Steve.
Correct.
No question about
it. Okay, so, Ira, so in your scenario, Bucks don't pull the trigger on a running back. This is the Ira Kaufman scenario. Then what? Do they just draft the best running back available wherever they feel they can fit him in properly? Third round, fourth round, second round?
No, it can't go past day two, which encompasses the first three rounds. Mm-hmm. Can't go past day two. You can't bank on somebody being available in round four that you like. Suppose he's off the board. Yeah, you know. So first three rounds, they got to draft the running back, pure and simple. There's no big debate about this, Steve.
So do you?
And I don't care if they get Peterson in the next 2 weeks. Still got to draft the running back.
Lee, what do you think? Suppose they don't draft a running back.
In the first round?
Yeah.
Well, they're definitely going to draft one in the second day. I agree with Ira. They're going to say, yeah, they're not going to wait until the middle rounds. No.
And then, so then let's take this a step further. Is there a style of running back that this team would then be looking at? That we need a guy who can do X because he's not going to be one of the top tier guys who can sort of do it all.
I think it's got to be somebody who can run between the tackles. Mm-hmm. I hate to back up the Kemp on this, but Charles Sims was a little bit exposed last year.
A little bit?
A little bit exposed.
A little bit.
Now, wait a minute. You're the guy that said he's extremely effective in the right role. And I still believe that.
He is. He would
provided
be.
These help.
He would be. Sure.
Jacquizz Rodgers, nice change of pace, Lee.
Yeah.
Change of pace.
Yeah.
I want a guy that can take a little bit of a beating between the tackles, fall forward, not dilly-dally behind the line, and be decisive.
Well, I think that's just you hit the nail on the head. They want a guy that is dependable, that can carry the ball 20 times a game. I mean, Jacquizz Rodgers got beat up a little bit last year, let's be honest.
Yeah, he busted his foot up.
Yeah, he got beat up. Doug Martin, you can't bank on him. Charles Sims, I admit he's good at what he does, but he's always hurt, let's be honest. So they're wanting a guy they can bank on, and that's why this Hunt guy kind of makes me raise an eyebrow because I haven't seen, I got to admit, I haven't watched a lot of Toledo games. But the little bit I saw him on YouTube, he sort of reminded me of a Doug Martin clone. Sort of.
Nice.
Now let's...
Toledo, I believe, former home for Bruce Gradkowski.
That's right.
John Gruden's got some... He's dating. But he's got a lot of affection for Toledo.
Right.
All right, Ira, you know, before we hit the final running backs end of this, the people are going to be so excited to see you at the draft party opening night.
Me and the commish together, me and Jason there together. It's going to be fantastic. I got to call him by his right name, right, Lee? I got to say Justin that night.
Well, you know what?
I mean, I have to.
Unless
he calls me Irv.
Well,
if he starts calling me Irv, Lee,
there are people,
all bets are off.
There are people out there that want to start making T-shirts with Irv.
And I don't want anybody to be scared away, and Justin's going to be clarifying this. Reservations are over for the draft party, but that doesn't mean that, A, everybody with a reservation is going to show up, and B, that you can't come. It's a very large place, inside, outside. There'll be some extra
accommodate them, right?
Extra provisions.
That's right.
And it's going to be the party, the place to be. But the custodian will have a seat. He's invited some special guests.
You know,
I think you're only showing up because, yeah, some of your highfalutin friends told you they were going, and you're like, oh, well, if it's good enough for them, I can hang out.
No, because you said you were buying me the first batch of wings, and that put me over the top.
Yes, the truth comes
now,
out.
Now, Lee, the commish might have these T-shirts with the stick carriers. He's got a slogan. Mm-hmm. I got no slogan. The Kemper,
yeah, you do.
What
it's called Irv.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that.
Am I going to have a T-shirt with Irv?
Well, I'm not making this up. Someone tweeted this. They wanted to start T-shirts with Irv if
he
showed up.
Ira, yeah, I put out on Twitter.
I don't know too many Irv. Irv Cross, remember Irv
Cross?
Yeah, there you go.
I put out on Twitter that, you know, we've had some requests for Irv Kaufman gear. Now, my question to you is, are you in favor of that? Are you okay if we start selling some Irv Kaufman gear?
First of all, do I dare bring my wife to the soiree, Ali?
Depends what she
can
put
I,
up
can
with
I her. Let her see these animals in
there
action?
You go. Yeah, it's sort of like...
These are the Joe Bucks fans' diehards.
Yeah, sort of like, you know, when you go to the zoo, you look at the tiger in a cage.
Wait a minute. Having been to many Joe Bucks fan events... those are not animals.
We have classy
now,
fans.
There will be some animals there. Okay? Right. But as far as, you know, 250 animals, no. You'll have some wild and crazy people. And back in the day when we used to do the blackout tour, when we bust fans to Fort Myers so they could watch the game on television, there were some people who did, you know, get kicked out at Leroy Selman's in Fort Myers.
Seriously?
Who were a little too drunk to continue their day. These things happen, but the Bucks are picking about 10:45 p.m. So that could be very interesting when it comes to an evening of drinking.
I'm going to confirm my appearance at this draft party. I'm going to confirm it today.
Well, I hope so.
Well, you left it open that I don't live up to my responsibilities over there.
Free wings gets you anywhere.
I am coming, Lee. You're going to have some games for these people. You're going to have some things, you know.
NFL draft.
Well, I mean, you have some giveaways?
Yeah, it's sort of like, what's that place that's on all the interstates where they have the little triangle square?
Oh, yeah. And they have those in...
I can't think of the name of the place, but it's like old-fashioned something or other. But it's a popular chain restaurant.
I know.
They're all over the interstates. And you go in there, and they have a wooden triangle
where
it's like holes in it.
Yeah, with pegs. And you play a little
game. If I say the name of the place, you'd know.
Lee hasn't won that game in 3.5 years.
I know what you're talking about, but there'll be plenty of fun, Aaron.
That's the king.
But again, that's Sports Legends Bar and Grill, Thursday, April 27th. Draft night, opening night of the draft.
And Steve, you know, we're less than a week away from the Bucks returning to One Buck Place, and we're going to be there.
We'll hit that next podcast, Ira. But on the running back's front, the final step, the final straw in the running back puzzle is that same guy, Doug Martin, who on Monday... will be reporting back to work with his teammates.
Allegedly.
Now, Doug Martin appeared on Twitter. He emerged from his hiatus after 4 months.
Mike Florio's favorite word.
He appeared sitting in the middle of the Boise State Stadium in a picture with some sort of a motivational quote. And it's an empty stadium. You see him from the back. He looks basically sending a message that I'm fit. I'm going back to my roots. I'm coming back. So the question is, we all know the scene with Doug Martin, but the question for you, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Irv, is when Doug Martin returns and he passes urine test after urine test after urine test after urine test, and Dirk Cutter, the head coach, watches him in practice during underwear football and says, holy crap, Jason, you know, he looks like the best running back we got. I don't care who we drafted. Well, how does that change the game? Do you think there's any shot he's back on this team in some sort of restructured contract?
I'm not feeling it, Lee. I'm not feeling it. Now, I'm going to root for Doug Martin. I hope he goes to another team and does well and gets another big contract down the line. Mm-hmm. Good guy in the locker room, Lee. Not a great interview. I don't hold that against Doug Martin. Had two sensational years as a Buck out of four. Two.
Five, actually.
You know. I'm going to root for him, Lee, but I don't think the Bucks can trust him at this point. He's at the bare minimum, he misses 3 games. How do you factor that in with a guy making the final roster? This is a win now. Jobs are on the line. This guy's not going to be available for the first 3 games. Can't help you in any way. And that's the best case scenario is that he comes back in week 4. Steve, I know what you're saying. You're trying to build a case for Doug Martin returning.
No, I'm asking you a question. Not building a case.
I think... you know, Lee, you're good at reading between the lines, too, Lee, your instincts. And What do we hear? We hear things like, we don't have to make a decision right now.
Bingo.
That is not a ringing endorsement.
Not
Lee.
At
it's
all.
It's just not.
Not
so
at all.
I just think, you know, I think Martin is going to have to go somewhere else.
Martin can't come back at the same contract. I mean, how can you justify that contract? You can't trust him on the field. I'm sorry, Doug Martin fans, but three out of 5 years, he's stunk on the field. Stunk. That's number one. Number two, he's already a documented PED abuser. Or I don't know about abuser, but user. Let's put it that way. That's number two. So, I mean, how can you trust the guy? And, he's injured. His production's lousy most of the time. Not all the time, most of the time. Now he's got this ding with the PED violation. I don't see how you can trust him.
So, Kaufman,
You asked me for my answer, and I gave it to you.
I got it. All right, I'm going to let it leave it alone right there because...
I didn't equivocate over there.
Yeah, you didn't equivocate. You didn't equivocate. I just think it gets very interesting. The longer he hangs around, all of a sudden, the longer he's visible, the longer he's walking the halls, the longer he's passing drug tests, the longer he looks good in practice. Now, keep in mind, he'll be again in a contract year. The more attractive he becomes. He's like the girl in the bar he got no interest in. And it gets later at night, later at night, later at night. And there she is. And
all of a sudden she's asking, let's go to the ATM.
Yeah. And things can change.
Well, you've been known to hug a totem pole at about 3:15.
Oh.
Steve, your exploits are legendary. Before you were married.
Totem
before
pole.
You were married, my friend.
See, this is why. I get the editing feature on the podcast. It's coming right out.
Lee, I take no pleasure in saying Doug Martin's got to go somewhere else. I don't take any pleasure in that. That's
neither
my feeling.
So how long do you let him stick around? What do you play games with him then?
Well, let the draft happen, Steve.
Is your prediction, Ira, that after the draft, before the team comes back for their first OTA post-draft, which is like the second week of May, Doug Martin is out of here?
I didn't say that. I said he's not going to make the final roster.
Yeah,
he's not going to make the final roster.
Yeah, I'm not as down on Doug. Believe it or not, I'm not as down on Doug Martin as you guys are. I think it's unlikely he returns unless he redoes his contract. I'm not ready to say he's gone right now as of April 11th. I'm not ready to say that he's gone. But it's unlikely.
And since we're clarifying, Ira, I believe there's a 99% shot he's gone. But I do believe the longer he hangs around, more chance somebody gets injured, more chance he looks pretty, and you never know. You never know.
All right, and I think all three of us are rooting for Doug Martin.
We got no animus towards Doug Martin.
No,
no, no. I hope he straightens his life out. My gosh. I mean, how could you? You know, it's not like this guy was Eric Wright or somebody. I mean, real dirtbag.
In his own way. Steve, in his own way, he helped Dirk Cutter get the head coaching job because he was so sensational that year.
Yeah.
You're right.
And the offense was great.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good things in the uniform. It's interesting that his image is on the stadium. I think that creates an interesting wrinkle to it. I will take one exception with the Ira before we hang it up here. You said he's a good locker room guy. How is this guy a good locker room guy? He just screwed his team.
Thank you.
He, you know, come on. Good locker room? He's not even a captain. The guys who should have been the MVP of the league, possibly.
Can I throw Doug Martin a little bone in the locker room
without
you two jackals trying to hijack this thing?
I absolutely agree with Steve. If he's a good teammate, he doesn't do what he did. He doesn't do what he did. Before you end the podcast, tell me when you're ready, because I'm going to add something here.
Let it go, Lee.
Okay.
Let it go.
Well,
a couple of podcasts ago, this will irritate the hardcore, I don't want to hear anything else but football. So if you don't hear anything else but football, kind of hang out.
Okay.
A couple of months ago, we were talking sitcoms and Get Smart. I got a lot of feedback. People love that, so I'm going to bring this up to you. It was a rough weekend for me. Rough weekend for you, Mr. Barry. For me, Don Rickles. To me, that's the end of an era. I know you weren't a big Rickles fan, but to me, I'm getting old now. All the guys I grew up with watching on Carson, they're all gone now.
That shows how old we're getting.
Yeah, they're all gone, with the possible exception of Bob Newhart, who, okay, he had a nice TV show. But all those guys are gone. I watched some of those clips of Rickles on Carson. I mean, that guy was is unreal.
Did you see the one where Carson throws him into the Japanese bath?
Because Rickles is giving him a massage.
That's
but the Frank Sinatra line when he said, "Hey, from Jersey City, Guido says hi," and it went on. But the thing was, that was the end of an era because Carson. There was a clip with Rickles in there. Think about this: how much you could charge if you owned a casino hypothetically in Vegas? Here were the guests on Carson one night: George Burns, in her day she was a tops. Angie Dickinson,
oh,
Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker, wow, and Rickles, all on the same show. You put a Vegas show like that together, like,
that's outstanding.
You're going to make all kinds of
Steve,
money.
Steve, you never know what's going to show up on this podcast.
I'm still
Steve.
Going to see Britney Spears in Vegas if that's the option.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me earplugs and I'll watch her.
Lee.
Yeah.
Lee, your boy Mr. Warmth, let's give him a fond farewell.
I was troubled over the weekend because I'm getting old now. Because like all these guys I grew up with are all gone. Dangerfield.
And on that note, Steve, for all you hockey pucks out there, this is the Ira Kaufman podcast signing off, baby.
All right, Ira, behave yourself.